Today we're building a Reese patch in Ableton Live 12 and, more importantly, sequencing it in a way that keeps the track breathing. This is the difference between a bass sound that just sounds huge and solo, and a bass line that actually works in a jungle or old-school D&B arrangement. And that's the key mindset for this lesson. Treat the Reese as a managed event, not a constant wall of sound. In advanced jungle writing, the bass line needs phrasing, contrast, and restraint. It should hit hard, but it also has to leave room for the kick, snare, break edits, vocal chops, and the sub underneath. So first, let's set up the bass architecture properly. Start with a dedicated MIDI track for the Reese layer and another one for the sub. On the Reese track, load Waveatable. On the sub track, use operator with a simple sine wave. Keep the sub dead, clean, and mono. That separation is crucial, because it lets you control the weight independently from the character. For the Reese in Waveatable, keep it classic and focused. Use two saw oscillators, detuned slightly against each other. Don't go crazy with unison voices. 2 to 4 voices is plenty. You want motion, not a blurry cloud. Then put a low-pass filter on it, and add just a touch of drive. Enough to thicken it up, not enough to flatten the tone. On the sub-layer, keep it simple. Sine only. Tight tuning. No stereo widening. If needed, low-pass it a bit to remove any clicky top end. The sub should just sit there and hold the floor steady, while the Reese does the talking. Group both tracks together into a bass group. Put a utility on each track, and make sure the sub stays mono. For the Reese layer, you can leave a little width, but don't max it out yet. A lot of people make the mistake of making the bass wide before they've even balanced the layers. That's how you lose headroom fast. Now, before you even think about automation or effects, write the MIDI like it's part of the drum pattern. That means your Reese is not a melody line. It's a groove element. It should interact with the break, not sit on top of it. Open an 8-bar clip and start with a simple rhythmic idea. Use short notes on off beats. Leave holes where the snare hits hard, and only use longer notes when you really want weight or tension. A very old-school way to think about this is call and response. For example, bar 1 might have short notes on the off beat, and a pickup into the snare. Bar 2 might answer with a lower note, a held note, or a small descending figure. That kind of phrasing gives the loop shape without overloading the mix. This is where note length matters a lot. One of the fastest ways to kill headroom is to let every bass note ring too long. So shorten the MIDI notes until the groove feels punchy and controlled. Let the synth envelope create the movement, not the note length. Inside Waveatable, keep the amp attack very short, basically instant. Use a moderate decay so the bass speaks and then tucks back in. Keep the release tight enough to avoid clicks, but not so long that it smears into the next drum hit. Then shape the filter envelope too. A small to medium envelope amount can help each note open up and then settle back down, which gives you that classic Reese chew without masking the break. Now let's bring in movement, because a Reese without motion can feel flat pretty quickly. Use a slow LFO on Waveatable position or filter cutoff. Keep it subtle. The goal is instability, not chaos. In this style of D&B, slow evolution usually works better than big obvious sweeps. You can even automate the depth of the LFO across the arrangement, so the first 8 bars feel restrained and the second 8 bars open up a little more. That's a really useful arrangement habit. Pre-plan your energy peaks. Decide which bars are the statement bars, and let the other bars be leaner. In other words, don't give every bar the same intensity. If everything is important, nothing is important. Another smart move is to use velocity as arrangement language. In Ableton, velocity isn't just about playing louder or softer. It can separate background motion notes from headline notes. A few low-velocity ghost hits can keep the groove alive, while the stronger notes define the phrase. Now let's talk processing, because this is where people often overdo it. The Reese should be audible, but it should not be doing all the work by brute force. Start with tasteful saturation. On the Reese layer, add saturator with soft clip-on, and just a few dB of drive. Then use EQA to clean up problem areas. If the low mids are muddy, carve a bit around 200 to 400 Hz. If there's harshness poking out, tame some of the 2 to 5 kHz range. The point is to make the Reese fit the mix better, not just sound bigger in solo. On the bass group, a glue compressor can help hold things together, but keep it subtle. You only want a little gain reduction on the peaks. Think 1 to 3 dB, not heavy pumping. And if you use a limiter, use it as a safety net, not a loudness crutch. If the bass is getting clipped too hard, lower the source levels first. Don't mix into RID and hope it fixes itself later. Now, let's make the sequence actually work with the drums. Load your break or drum loop and audition the bass against the kick and snare pocket. In jungle and old school DNB, the bass often feels strongest when it accents the spaces between the break hits rather than constantly reinforcing them. So if the snare lands hard on 2 and 4, don't automatically place a long Reese note right on top of it. Sometimes that can be a cool wall moment, but if you do it all the time, you flatten the groove. Instead, try quick pickups into the snare, then let the bass drop out for a beat or half a bar before the next phrase. That negative space is powerful. It makes the next hit feel bigger. If you've got vocal chops or atmospheric vocal snippets, leave intentional room for them. A classic DNB move is to let the vocal phrase answer the bass. Bass says something, vocal replies, drums keep driving. That call and response structure makes the arrangement feel alive and musical instead of just dense. Once the MIDI groove feels right, resample it. This is a really useful advanced move because audio gives you extra control. Print the Reese phrase to a new audio track, then trim the tails, cut the clip cleanly, and keep it tight. Avoid warping unless you really need it, because unnecessary stretching can smear the low end. When you have the audio version, you can use it in a few different ways. You can chop it for switch-ups, reverse a hit, use a stuttered fragment before a transition, or layer it quietly under the MIDI version for extra attitude. You can also run the resample through beat repeat for controlled glitchy transitions, or a very light grain delay if you want a ghostly texture. Just don't let the processing take over the groove. Now think about arrangement in 8-bar and 16-bar blocks. A strong DNB arrangement might start with a drum intro and filtered Reese hints. Then the first drop brings in the full groove, but maybe with limited modulation so it stays clear. In bars 9 to 16, you can add a little more syncopation or vocal answer. Then a switch up can strip the sub briefly, widen or distort the Reese a bit, and build tension before bringing the sub back in hard. A really good trick here is to open the filter slightly before the drop, and then pull the Reese down a dB or two during the busiest drum fills. That way, the drums get their moment and the bass doesn't smear the impact. Even a tiny bass mute or a short stop before a phrase change can make the next downbeat hit much harder. Let's cover the most common mistakes, because they happen all the time. First, don't make the Reese too wide in the low end. Keep the sub mono, and keep the width mostly in the higher part of the Reese layer. If the low end is wide, mono compatibility falls apart and the bass loses power. Second, don't let every note ring over every snare. Shorten the MIDI notes and rely on the synth envelope for movement. Third, don't distort everything before the layers are balanced. Get the sub and Reese relationship right first, then add saturation lightly. Fourth, keep checking mono. If the bass disappears or turns hollow in mono, you've got a width problem. And fifth, don't sequence the bass like a melody line. Sequence it like part of the groove. It should work with the drums, not against them. For a few extra pro moves, you can duplicate the Reese and process the copy only for high mids. High pass that duplicate aggressively, add some distortion, and blend it in quietly for extra growl. You can also add a very tiny amount of auto pan to the mid layer only, synced slowly, just for movement. Another great trick is to automate a slight filter dip before snare heavy sections so the drums hit even harder. If you want a more authentic old school edge, resample the Reese and chop a few hits as audio. That can give the bassline a vintage, urgent feel without needing a huge synth patch. And if you're leaning toward a darker Neuro style roller edge, make tiny wave-eatable position changes every 4 bars. Keep it subtle so the loop still works for DJs. Here's a quick practice challenge to lock it in. Build a 2-bar Reese phrase with only 4 to 6 notes total. Make one note answer the snare, one note lead into the snare, and one note hold a little longer for tension. Add a little saturator, compare it with bypass, and check the result in mono. Then duplicate the clip and make a second variation with one extra pickup note or one rest. Print it to audio, cut one version into a 1-bar switch-up, and test it against a break and a vocal hit. If the loop still feels heavy, clean, and musical at low volume, you're on the right track. So the big takeaway here is this. In jungle and old-school DNB, the best Reese lines are not just loud and wide. They're disciplined, they hit hard, they leave space, and they move with intention. Fill the sub separately, write the MIDI around the drums, keep the notes short, use envelopes and automation for motion, and only widen or distort where it helps the arrangement. That's how you get a Reese that doesn't just sound massive in solo, but actually carries the drop.